What time are we supposed to be here tonight?
Oh, I said 4 o'clock. I sent an email yesterday, but
I know. Hey, welcome everybody. We're just getting warmed up. We're still a little before church, so if you want to grab some coffee and enjoy talking to each other, that's fine. If you want to sing with us, that'd be awesome too. We're going to do an old Christmas song for Chris Tomlin called My Soul Magnifies the Lord.
Good news of great joy for every woman, every man. This will be a sign to you, a baby born in Bethlehem. Come and worship, do not be afraid. A company of angels, whom his favor rests. Come and worship, do not be afraid. My soul, magnifies the Lord. My soul, magnifies the Lord. He has done great things for me, great things for me. Child is born, unto us a son is given. Let every heart prepare his throne in every nation under heaven. Come and worship, do not be afraid.
My soul magnifies the Lord.
souls, magnify the Lord too. Glad to see you. Welcome somebody here and wish them a very Merry Christmas.
What do you think? What kind of question is that? Look at a calendar. Good morning. Merry Christmas Eve.
You would not believe how many people I've had come up to me today and go, hey, was this supposed to be No Judgment Sunday? Where they could wear whatever they wanted.
Because last year we wore pajamas.
I know, because we wore pajamas. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
And so I think what we should do is like February 12th, the closest Sunday to Valentine's Day,
mm-hmm.
should be complete Judgment Sunday, where like everybody like can wear like their prom dresses and their wedding dresses and their tuxes and just go all out. Like we'll do red carpet limousines.
Yeah, you guys should do that.
It's just that if we're going to have a No Judgment Sunday, shouldn't we have like an Everything Judgment Sunday?
No, because a No Judgment Sunday is biblical, and Everything Judgment Sunday is churchy.
So then if there's only one Judgment Sunday, what are the rest of the Sundays?
They should also be No Judgment. Right. It's just like the one where we finally, and it was because church falled on a Sunday. It fell on a Sunday, and so we all went into the old sanctuary on couches, in pajamas.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that's why it's different. Maybe it should be a tradition that even if it doesn't fall on Sunday, every Christmas is show up in your new pajamas.
That would be awesome.
And so we could do something like that. It's not clapworthy. It's not. I have a verse because I want to get back on track here, Seth. I have a verse. It's Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And it says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And so in this room, this morning and every morning that we come to worship, and even if you choose to worship on your own, it's Emmanuel. It's God with us. And so as we pick up this worship morning and we think about the song, I get confused by something that says, magnify my soul, magnifies the Lord. Nothing we can do is going to add anything to God. But if you look at a magnification glass, whatever's underneath becomes bigger. And so if those around you don't have a very large view of God, our soul should magnify. It should make it bigger. It should show it to them in a way that they haven't seen before. And so I wanted to clarify that and just say that God is with us. And then I also wanted to announce that we will be doing a service this Sunday, today, at 5:30. We're going to gather again today at 5:30 for those that would like to join us, and we're going to worship. We're going to read some more verses like these from the birth of Jesus. We're going to, we're going to have
communion.
A good time. Take communion. And so if that's something you'd like to do, just be here at 5:30 tonight, and we'll
Bring
celebrate together. Yeah. Bring a friend, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, free bread.
Free bread. And juice.
And juice.
Wow. Hey, the next thing that I have on my list is that if you guys missed the kids' Christmas program or want to share it with your relatives or anything like that, hey, just go to our website, and right there is just a link that you can watch the kids' Christmas program again. It's only going to be up for a short time just because it's such a huge file. We just don't want to leave it on our server for too long. And so go check it out, share it with all your grandparents, all that sort of stuff. But just go to GlasgowEC.com. And then right there is a link to watch that movie, the video. And so go check it out and be challenged by them, because it was a great program. Are there any other announcements we're missing this morning? I don't think we are, because it's Christmas. You guys shouldn't be doing anything this week but being with family. But if you do, awesome. Hey, every single week as a church family, we pray with one another and share with one our burdens with one another. And so I have one prayer request for you guys. But those of you, if you can grab the card in the seat back in front of you, hey, we would just love you to fill out a prayer request for us. We love praying for you guys and just entering into your life and knowing what's going on, and so that we can pray with you, pray for you. And even just by you writing that prayer request down on that card is telling God what's on your heart. And so enter in with that. Here in a little bit, we'll take an offering, and then you guys can just put your put that prayer request in that bag. But the one I have for you is Rob Zeliff, Sr., not the junior that you know, not the bald-headed mailman that you know, but his dad is going in for open heart surgery on January 3rd. And so he lives all the way in New York. And so Rob next week is going to take off to Staten Island, I guess. Long Island, I have no clue. Geography doesn't
work
different? For me. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, they're different. Okay, yeah.
So yeah, so long, he's heading over to Long Island. Long, short, I don't care. Anyway, January 3rd, just be praying for Rob Zeliff, okay?
And then I had one that was told to me at the coffee back there.
Awesome.
About the surgeons. And you may know more than I do about it,
yeah.
But didn't David go off for to get scoped? Because there was some internal bleeding. They found it with the scope. They cauterized it. And then now his kidneys are still functioning. Just the functioning they're doing isn't very helpful. And so he does think with his recovery that he might be back in the next day or two. But if you just keep the surgeons in your prayers as well. For what's going on there.
Absolutely. Any other prayer requests that you guys might have for us this morning? Right here. Tiffany.
I just want to say that my family did make it to Red Lodge. My mom said it was very icy, and she had, of course, three dogs with her, and they did make it there safely.
Great. Awesome. Right here.
I'm back. Praise God. I just want to thank everybody for all they've done. All the meals and the cards and just the thoughts and prayers meant so much to me. And I'm doing better every day. And good. I thank you for your prayers.
Absolutely.
I would like to continue your prayer for Robert. He's still having a problem at the hospital in Billings. His wound on his bottom is not healing very well, so we need to keep him lifted up. Thanks.
This is Jereen Unrau, and my aunt, someone needs prayer because her husband died in his sleep on Friday night. So it's a, you know, she was really shaken up, but just pray for the family because her son and daughter, I'm sure will be coming from Seattle. So travel mercies for him too, or them.
Any other requests?
Would you guys pray with us? God, you are, like the scripture says, Emmanuel, God with us. And because of that, we have the ability to know you, to magnify you, to be loved and to love you, to even know who we are, because sometimes we get lost in that, and Lord, you get to tell us what's going on. God, this season as we look towards your Son for our hope, for our peace, for joy, God, we find it in you. God, with all these prayer requests going on, with surgeries that are happening, with Rob and with Dave's surgery that he just had, Lord, we know that you hold all things together, and we know that in you we can trust, and you've got everything taken care of, and we can rely on you more and more. God, we can rely on you for safe travel, and we can rely on you for healing and to bring us back with the families we love being with. Lord, we can rely on you with healing with Robert and physical healing, and also we can rely on you for emotional healing for Jareen's aunt. God, all you really ask us is that we would come to you, that we would come to your throne room and talk with you and communicate with you and to know your heart and to have our hearts be closer to yours. And God, we thank you for that opportunity because of your Son.
Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be here. We're so thankful for you giving us a book that we can read through your word and become closer and connected to you. And Lord, I pray as we continue to worship today, as we get into your word and unpack it and decide what that really means in our lives, that each one of us are willing to open up our ears, our eyes, and our minds to that message. Whatever individual message it is you have prepared for us today, Lord, may we hear it. May we receive it, may we apply it. And Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to celebrate you, to celebrate your birth, to celebrate the craziness of God coming down to be one of us and to be born in such a way and to fulfill all of this prophecy. Lord, we're so thankful to be a part of this and to be here. We love you, Lord. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, and we leave him at the most level playing field there is for the cross. And all God's people said, amen.
I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and we're going to take our morning offering. And while we do that, our church goes through the Advent season. And during the Advent season, it is our looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And the first week is we look at the hope that the Messiah brings, that we aren't alone and that God does come to us. And then we look at his peace. And then we look at his joy. And the very last week is, the last day is actually just him being here with us. And so I wanted to read this little Advent with you guys because I think it's impressive to think of what actually Jesus means. And we're going to talk about it today in the sermon, but listen to this. God sent his Son to provide rescue and forgiveness for those who had ignored his existence and rebelled against his rule. That's grace. It doesn't take paragraph after paragraph, written on page after page, filling volume after volume to communicate how God chose to respond to the outrageous rebellion of Adam and Eve and the subtle and not so subtle rebellion of everyone since. God's response to the sin of people against his rightful and holy rule can be captured in a single word. I wonder if you thought, I know the word, it's grace. But the single word that captures God's response to sin even better than the word grace is not a theological word, it's a name. The name is Jesus. God's response wasn't a thing. It wasn't the establishment of an institution. It wasn't a process of intervention. It wasn't some new divine program. In his infinite wisdom, God knew that the only thing that could rescue us from ourselves and repair the horrendous damage that sin had done to the world was not a thing at all. It was a person, his son, the Lord Jesus. God's response to our rebellion was to give us himself. He is the great redeeming, transforming gift. He is the new rescue. He is the forgiveness. He is the restoration. He is life, hope, peace, and security. There is no salvation apart from him. There is no deliverance from the presence and power of sin apart from him. There is no restored relationship with God apart from him. There is no new heaven and new earth apart from him. There is no end to sickness and suffering apart from him. There is no defeat of death apart from him. There simply is no such thing as redeeming grace and all that it means apart from the willingness of God to give himself in the person of the Messiah Jesus. Jesus is the grace of God given to sinners who cannot free themselves from the death grip of sin. Look into that manger at that baby and see grace. The Christmas story is about grace in its most shocking and surprising form. The Lord of Lords, one of incalculable glory, humbles himself and takes on human flesh and blood. The Creator, in a way that boggles the mind, becomes the created. The one who made a perfect world now exposes himself to a world stained with imperfection. The judge of all things places himself under judgment. The one who deserves worship becomes the Lamb of Sacrifice. The one who deserves everyone's love subjects himself to being despised and rejected. The one who owns all things lives with no place to call home and no place to rest his weary head. Here in a single word, the name Jesus is the shocking turn in the redemptive story. In sovereignty and with power, God would respond to the sorry condition of his world with holy authority. He would deal with the image bearers who had turned their backs on him. Yet he would deal with the ravages of sin, not with the tools of judgment, with the single tool of grace, Jesus. You simply cannot use the word grace without connecting that word to Jesus. Yes, it needs to be said again and again and again. Jesus is the grace of God to sinners. Without his life, death, and resurrection, grace would be a sentiment devoid of any helpfulness. Without the gift of Jesus, grace would be promised with no power. Without the presence, life, and work of that baby in the manger, there is no light at the end of the tunnel for sinners. There is no hope ending for rebels. There is no home waiting for the lost. There is only darkness, defeat, judgment, and death. This season, in the midst of all the celebration and gift giving, be careful to remember that at the center of what we celebrate is one game-changing, life-altering, hope-giving reality. Grace is a person, and his name is Jesus. God knew that nothing else would ever repair what sin had broken, so he gave us the ultimate gift of gifts, the gift of his son. It's not enough to say that Jesus came to preach grace to us. It's not enough to say that he came to give grace to us. No, Jesus is God's redeeming grace, given to those who, without him, would have no hope in life or in death. Now that's worth celebrating, not just on one special day, but on every day of your life and for the rest of eternity too. Let's worship. Thank you.
Man.
guys. Please be seated.
Hey, if you are 3 years old to third grade, you could head on out of here. So there's only really like four gifts I ever remember getting from my parents. The first gift that I will always remember is the year that my mom lied to me for months on end because my brother and I come from a family of four, and so my brothers and I, we wanted Game Boys that Christmas. And so my mom, if you don't remember Game Boys, they're really cool. You should check them out, okay? But my brothers and I would be hounding my mom, and this is what my mom always used to say. Do you think we have the money for that expensive of a gift? And so we were just like, oh, but it would be super cool, right? And mom put on the waterworks too one day. We were like, man, it'd be really great if we could have a Game Boy. And my mom just starts crying, right? Just starts bawling in front of us. I'm like, we're sorry. We don't mean to make you feel bad. She's like, I just wish I could get you guys what you wanted. And guess what? We got a Game Boy that year. My mom lies, okay, y'all? And so then that was like the one huge thing that I remember. And then every other gift, I'm going to tell you, my parents were like clockwork. January 20th is my birthday, and so you can put it on your calendars if you want. I'm just joking. Please don't. But on January 20th every year, I knew what I was getting for my birthday, and it was a new pair of jeans, right? We got to choose what we wanted to eat and a new pair of jeans. Like, my parents were like clockwork, okay? Always knew what we were going to get. But on Christmas, my parents used to always say for your birthday, we're just going to get you something you need. And so I remember when I started driving my car when I was 15 years old, and my parents decided that year for Christmas that they were going to start buying us Christmas gifts that we need. Right? And so what all of a sudden happens is now what I think I need is completely different what I think my parents think I need. And so I have now a Stanley tool set that went in my vehicle that year. And guess what? I still have that Stanley's tool set. I thought it was the dumbest thing. Like, oh, thanks. Great tool set. Awesome. Like, I can't use that right now, but I'm still using it today. Another thing was jumper cables. I'm pretty sure I use the jumper cables so much because I always turn on my lights. I'm just that type of person. I don't know where those are at now. I've probably used them so much they're just gone. And the last thing is this, which was so funny. 18 years old, I was graduating high school, actually Christmas of that year. My parents got me the weirdest gift. Super weird gift. And all four of us boys got the exact same gift. A fireproof safe. Right? Like one of those ones you can get. We're just like, come on. Are you serious? You guys are so weird. I'm still using it to this day, and it's amazing, right? Like, there are these gifts that we just kind of go, I don't need this. And then later on, we realize we absolutely need those gifts. Last week, we talked about the gift of God and how He gives us life. Just by simply breathing into us and creating us, God, in His intimate way with us, gives us an ability to have free will in that creation. At that very moment, we now have the ability to have a relationship with Him, but we get to choose whether we have that relationship with Him or not. But I'm here to tell you that this is interesting, is that free will always choose itself. And so what happens when we get into free will and it chooses itself, it means that, guess what? We begin to look at the tree and get a little deceived. We eat off the fruit because we think it's good. But I think that when we look at this, whole entire creation of God, we start to realize something, that in the midst of it, that God would create. He knows people that would reject Him. But they would be deceived and they would desire something completely different. And so today I think we're going to look at the next gift of our series of the gifts that are eternal. And it's the gift that we don't realize that we need every day. But we absolutely need it. And it's the gift of grace and Jesus. And so would you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, as we open up your word, man, there's so many times where we talk to you and we assume to tell you what we think we need. And you continue over and over again, give us gifts and they just surprise us. And this gift of grace and of Jesus is the gift we need absolutely every single day, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I hope that as we open up your scriptures, that we would see the need for you. That, Lord, that we are deceived and that we've gone away from you and that we have rebelled against you, but your grace is sufficient for us. Open up our hearts this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's flip over to Titus. And we're going to start there this morning, Titus chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 11 through 14. And we're going to go from two main pieces of scripture today, but Titus chapter 2:11 through 14 says this: "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." What an incredible passage. That the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And what I want to look at is, what is that that appeared? And so let's flip over into John chapter 1. And we're going to go into verse 14 through 18. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he whom I said, he has come after me, ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Wrap that up really quickly, because it all starts here. It all starts with the idea of God. We've been every single week going back to Genesis chapter 1 over and over again. In the beginning, God created. And as we've been doing this study in our preaching team, as well as just the staff, we keep coming back to every single gift starts with God, because every single gift is God. And then we started to realize, well, wait a second. What if this was more kind of like an equation? It's not something plus something equals something. No, it just equals each other over and over again. And so I think that today we do have to look at, well, okay, so if this is the gift we need, how do we start looking at that? And I think we have to start where we ended last week. And it is this, is we have to start with the gift of God. Do you realize that God created? that before there was nothing, and God said, I'm going to create something. And that something was a whole bunch of stuff and us. But if God created everything, and that's where we start, it has to equal something else for us. And so in this notes, if you're going to take sermon notes with us, that very first line, I want you to write down God, because that's where it starts. It's going to start with God. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's where our story starts. That's where we begin, because when God created, there is something that God had to do within that. And we talked about that before the very first week in December. We talked about this, that one of the very first gifts that we have to look at is that God equals truth. Some may put it this way, that God also equals love. And so you could put truth and love if you want to. But in that talk, I said this. I said, the most truthful thing is love. And the most loving thing is truth. And so, if we're going to get down to the gift we need, I think we have to look at a little bit of what it means for the truth in our lives. If we want to get to grace in Jesus, I think we have to deal with this first. Because truth will always explain to us that we fall short of the glory of God. Right away, we find in Genesis chapter 3, not very far after the creation, we start doing something. This serpent comes to Eve and says something to her over and over again. Did God really say? Genesis chapter 3. We're not going to go in there, but that's great read. Did God really say? As soon as we listened to that and deceived ourselves and then ate the fruit, the truth was is that actually we became shackled. We were not free. We decided that we could pick up this heavy weight and think we were free. And we started walking around that with people that just said, we've got this all under control. I can take care of this. We thought that we could keep on living and keep on going on because we thought that we could take on the idea that we now knew the difference between right and wrong. We got to then decide, hey, I think we can do this. We didn't realize the weight, or we just simply go, I can take care of this. Paul says later on, he says, the wages of sin is death, but we didn't look at it like that. Because now we just keep on trying to figure everything out. In fact, actually, the very next thing that after we were being deceived, we decided to go, well, wait a second. We'll start killing one another. Cain and Abel begins to say, my sacrifice was just fine. Why can't you accept mine? And then we get to the Tower of Babel right after that, right? And we all get together and we go, look at the amazing things that we can do. We could build a tower that could go straight to the sky and we could actually be as high as God is. And so if we can't be him, we're going to be as close as possible to him. And so we start kind of going, hey, there's nothing we can't do. We can cure everything and we can take care of it ourselves. And then years later, when we find out that we can't do it and we've been separated and now we're in slavery, which is a complete example of what's really actually going on spiritually, we get released from being in slavery. And then years later, we go, God shouldn't be our leader. You know what? We need a king. We need somebody to take care of us. Just like today. We expect the government to take care of us. We expect the government to do the things that maybe we should be doing ourselves. And so we don't actually look to God for anything. We just say we can make laws, we can govern morality if we want to, right? We can tell people what they should and should not believe. It doesn't really matter what God thinks about this stuff. And then it continues to go on and on, the sin that we just do not want to allow God to see. Actually, let's put it this way. We just continue to not listen to God, and we think that we're mitigating it just fine. And now if I was an acrobat, I'd probably have my foot in here, right? And I'd try to be hobbling around here, but I just can't do that. But the rest becomes history, right? We all know it. We all look at it over and over again, and we say, ah, this world, what's it coming to? It's going to hell in a handbasket. I guess we'll just deal with it, right? And then there's God who's saying, no, I have the truth. I have it. Would you guys just pay attention to it? Would you guys actually look at it and find out what's going on? And so we thought that it would be okay to just make this law, these laws, right? That if we could actually handle the laws over and over again, we would be okay. The problem is that none of us can handle the law correctly. We start looking at Moses and we start looking at all of the commandments that God gave us, and we can't do it. Because none of you, when I said Cain killed Abel, none of you were sitting there going, nah, I've definitely killed. No, I don't see any murderers in here. But man, your thoughts about murdering somebody, right? Your thoughts of taking, not a life, but just really giving people your mind, telling them what's going on. And I think that truth for a while can actually be okay. We think we can handle it, right? If we would just do the right things, we're good. The problem is that we're not. Over and over again, we just keep coming back to, it doesn't matter, that very first one. Even if I dropped this right now, that very first one would still be around me. I can't ever get rid of the shackle. But then there's this thing that came along in our lives called grace. Because if you remember, pull back up Titus chapter 2 for me, would you? For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And so we got really excited, right? We got super excited that we said, hey, I almost about fell off there. That was amazing. We got really excited there and we said, hey, grace is here. That's amazing. We have salvation. And you know what we did? We decided to pick up this blanket called grace. You want to help me, Brian? I almost had it though. That's what's amazing. No, that's okay. We pick up this thing called grace, and what we just do is we cover it and we say, hey, at least you can't see my sin. It's covered. I'm good. I can't see anything, and it's getting really hot in here, but I'm covered. I'm good. Thank you, God, for your grace. Man. Oh, God's grace is so amazing. Jesus is phenomenal. This is so great. I can still do everything that I've wanted to do, and I'm free. And that's how we've always looked at grace. We've looked at grace as this little blanket that we just put over ourselves, and we don't actually take care of the root problem. Because this is the problem. But grace is something different than just a blanket. Grace is a way of dealing with this. Grace says, hey, would you accept
Would you repent? Would you accept the gift? Would you repent from all of this? And would you start going and saying, no, I need to live differently? And eventually, we get to the point of slowly dropping it. But every once in a while, we love to go pick that stuff up, don't we? Grace is not permissive. Grace doesn't get to say, hey, you can go ahead and keep on doing everything because I'm just going to forgive you anyway. No, grace is literally, what I've said, is a way of dealing with our wrong. Grace comes to us and says, you don't have to actually live like that anymore. And I love in Titus, please pull that back up for me. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Man, grace has appeared for that, not to all of a sudden allow us to live in our sin, right? And to hold on to it and to say, God, I've got this all on my own. But no, it says, grace has appeared to teach us and to train us how to renounce all of the things that are wrong in our lives. The problem is that I think that we've been looking at grace all the wrong way. We've been assuming grace just means that it gets to be okay with the things that we've done in our lives. And to a certain point, yes, you are correct. But grace doesn't allow us to stay there. Grace continues to train and to bring up things in our lives. But the next point is this, is that I want you to understand this, that grace is not separate from Jesus. Grace equals Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 1, I want to read something that just blew my mind as I read it. Verses 1 through 4. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. That was the way people knew if they were doing right and wrong and if they were following what was going on in the Old Testament. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance, Jesus, just to remind you, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And this is what he did. After making purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Jesus equals grace, equals truth, equals God. And when we bring that in and we realize that he holds all things together and he does that, that he holds all things together, that all things were made through him, I love this idea that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. It bugs me because I know that I would actually rather watch a superhero movie. Superman's my favorite. I'd rather watch a Superman movie than have a friendship with the person that upholds the universe. That he sits there and he says, you don't have to go back to that. But there's this wise proverb that says, like a dog returns to his vomit, man also will continue to return to his sin. Over and over again. And there's this Emmanuel, God with us, who's saying, I am upholding the universe by the word of my power, and you don't need to go there anymore. And so if God equals truth, and truth equals grace, and grace equals Jesus, what happens next after that? Because I wonder if you have a consuming addiction with God, or it's merely just a convenient addition in your life. And I didn't come up with that. That's somebody else's. But if we realize that Jesus, grace, truth, God are all equal, I wonder if it's just this, hey, this is great, or if we would actually dive all in and go, I want this. I want this consuming addiction in my life. Or am I just going to play with Jesus? Am I just going to dance around the issues in my life? Because I think what happens next is there has to come to a point of repentance. Somebody asked me this week, they said, well, then how do you open the gift of grace? If it was handed to you and there was this box, how would you open it? I think the way that you open this gift of grace is that you repent. That you know that you've been deceived. That you know that you are completely sinful and are without hope. And that you know that the life you lead right now is not the life that God created. That Jesus intended, that Jesus is holding up, that the life you have right now is not anywhere close to how he has created all things. Because I think once we become and have him as our consuming addiction, the next thing is this, is that we start to live the real gift, which is righteous living. If we can't see this, if we can't open this gift, guess what? We have no desire to have righteous living. We have no desire to actually do the things of God if we don't come to the point of repentance. Because it's just like everything else. It's just holding all things together going, I got this. I can handle this. Just put the blanket back over me. We can do this. Because once we have the ability and the desire to want to live righteously, I think that's when we finally have hope. That's when we finally have hope. That means that no matter what goes on, no matter what happens, once we are grounded in Jesus and he is our consuming addiction and we are doing everything towards that of righteous living and being in him, the hope comes that goes, we know that the world is messed up. I know that things aren't going well. Hey, but I'm working on them in my life, and I would rather have God than my own life and my own world. If I'd rather have him, then that means that everything that goes on around us doesn't matter. Our only consuming thought over and over again is I need Jesus in my life more and more. That when cancer comes, we have hope. That when loved ones die, we have hope. That when we're fighting in our marriages, we have hope because Jesus changes us. When we have bad relationships with our sons, our fathers, our mothers, we have hope because guess what? Jesus is the one that can transform our hearts to have a relationship with one another. When loved ones around us are dying, we have hope because guess what? They should rather be with Jesus than my miserable self. And that is really hard to say. We live grace by continually being people who are righteously living and giving hope and having hope for ourselves. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 says this: let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteous living, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Here's what I struggle with the most when I think about this, is that I desire over and over again to pick up the shackles. I find that there are weeks where I tell myself, well, I deserve this. I've worked so hard, I deserve a little bit of selfish me time. That means that maybe I feel like it's okay to snap at my kids, or it's okay to not actually keep things under control. I'm just going to go crazy. I'm going to binge watch movies after movies. Or I'm going to try to mitigate my shackles a little bit more. Try to hide them from people. And for some of us in this room, mitigating the shackles looks like the appearance of having it together. For some of us, it's to actually look for more comfortability than anything else. I don't want to be around people. I just want to be comfortable for myself. I don't want what God wants for me. For some of us, it's just allowing distractions to come into our lives over and over again. For some of us, it's a blatant, outright ignorance of God. For others of us, we haven't done the work of being with God, and so we pass it off as, well, at least I'm doing your work, God. At least I'm volunteering at places, or at least I'm writing that note for people or trying to be encouraged, but I don't need to spend time with you this week. I'm just going to do work for you. Others of us are not listening to the truth and making truth up for ourselves. In fact, actually, there's a lot of us in this room that don't trust God and his sovereignty. We only trust him as far as it doesn't hurt. What would happen if we actually just did what he says? Problem is that I don't think we do what he says because we don't know what he is saying every single day. We're talking about a life-giving savior of the universe, and we relegate him to 15-minute devotionals that we pick up just to suffice for our guilt of not hanging out with him. I mean, Jesus holds it all in his hands, and we think that we could play God with our own life story. And here I'm telling you that the way that we live grace over and over again and continue to open grace is that we lay down our shackles and we have hope. And here's the key: that at any circumstance, at any point in time, everywhere, that the one thing we're doing is to give God glory. Because if we're taking away God's glory, then that means we're continually picking up the shackles over and over again. And only you can answer that question for yourself today, that are we loving God with everything or just the things we're willing to allow him to have? Grace allows us the point to spend time with God and go, would you tell me what's going on in my heart? Here's my fear for myself, that as we end this service, is that my fear is that I will walk away from today and I'm going to go into tomorrow and I'm going to soak up my family, probably read a couple scripture verses of the story of God, and then do nothing about it on Tuesday morning. I'll probably be mad or seem annoyed by something that goes on. I wrote down here, I said, "Oh, church, what would happen if we realized he does care?" That on Tuesday morning that I wake up and instead of just going through maybe my routines, but actually going, "God, I want to be with you today." That I would allow him to say, "I love you so much that I wouldn't allow you to be changed, that I wouldn't allow you to stay the same, Seth." And that I would know that he doesn't allow my sin to keep me away from him. And I hear him saying over and over again that it doesn't become easy, but it's the most worth it thing. Because every single day I tell myself it's easier to be in my ignorant chains than to walk around in freedom with God. And so this morning as we sing our last song, I think to myself, I want to have a repentant heart to be able to look at this gift of grace and open it up. I want to ask God, "God, what are things in my life that are completely away from you?" And I hope that you can realize today that as we go through the rest of the day and tomorrow being with family, that the gift that God gives to us when he sends his son Jesus is grace. That when we ask him to forgive us of our sins from our repentance, he is faithful and he says that you are forgiven and he covers us. But not in a way in which he covers us so that we can hide our chains. No, he actually covers us to say, "You can no longer have to use these anymore. Walk in freedom." And so as we sing this song, "Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone," I want you to do two things. I want you to worship God for who he is, that he is God Emmanuel, God with us. And I also want you to ask him, "God, this season, I've got a day off to maybe spend some time with you. Would you reveal to me what's going on, what shackles I still walk around with?" And then Brian will close us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught.
Message to hear on Christmas Eve. We're supposed to talk about babies and animals and shepherds and wise men. That's what we're supposed to be talking about, right? But we're talking about grace and salvation. And I don't want anybody to be confused. I know when I used to come to church before I was a Christian, I wasn't a Christian my whole life, just so you guys know. None of us were. I used to get upset when they talk about righteous living. Like, see, here it is, the church that pass around little plates and they ask my money and they tell me I need to live right. And so what I used to do is I would pretend that I'd have these chains on. I'd have the chains of sin and selfishness on, and then I'd pretend to have righteous living because I didn't desire or even know I needed a relationship with God. And so I'd pretend, I'd go, they'll think I'm Christian, right? Like, I can stop doing this stuff, but you can't. You can't, the chains are still attached. And like the song says, a lot of us are blind. And so if you're confused right now and you're like, dang it, the church keeps asking me to just live right. That's not God's call at all. It's what happens when grace, when you unpack grace and you understand what God did for us and what he's covered and what he continues to do, you have the power to no longer turn and pick up the chains. And the funny thing is you don't have the power. God has the power for you not to turn around and pick up the chains, not to pick up a blanket and look so silly and say, well, at least God will forgive me when I do this stuff. Grace looks like a baby. Grace had to come in the form of an innocent child so that we could try to understand. And I pray, if this is the one of two times you're going to be at church today, understand that God knew you'd be here. God knew that you need grace, not righteous living, not fake relationship. He desires relationship with you. Please know that from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of creation, God knew you would be here this morning. And if you have been a Christian your whole life and you thought you understood grace, I pray that we all take another look at it and understand we don't have to pick up the chains. We don't. Let's pray. Lord, your grace is all powerful. You are all powerful. Jesus is the culmination of perfect love, absolute truth. And Lord, we pray that you give us the power for righteous living, not on our own that we can pretend, because that's not going to do us any good. Lord, I pray that we understand that you were first. Lord, I pray that you can help open our eyes and hearts and minds to understand that all of this sin and selfishness is a result of your true love to give us a choice to choose you. Without it, we have no choice and we're just slaves to something else besides sin. Lord, our desire is to continue to just try to work on understanding you. Lord, if we're in a weird spot this morning, we don't know, I pray that you can help offer that clarification. You can offer that wisdom and we can come along as a family and support and love each other. And Lord, I thank you so much for your son. We celebrate his birth to understand and look forward to what ultimately you did on the cross. Lord, thank you so much for today. We leave all of this, as we say every week, at the most level playing field there is, the foot of the cross. And all God's people said, amen.